going to hear the declaration and exposition of the Word of God, which has been called the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You help us in the exposition and declaration of that word, that petition, that crucial petition of the Lord's Prayer, and that we might truly pray it and be confident of an answer. I'm going to visit with you Ephesians chapter 6, where is wonderful biblical information about just how we go about in this praying, lead us not into temptation, and praying, deliver us from evil, and some vital components to the prayer and to the prayer life. And so Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read this morning from the King James Version of the Bible, and verse 10 through 20, where is the well-known passage of the armor of God and some not-so-well-known components of that putting on of the whole armor of God. But chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far we read God's inspired, infallible word. May He apply it to our hearts, to our living, unto His praise in a word-centered Christianity. Fellow pilgrims, we are blessed indeed to have been brought from land of man, the kingdom of darkness, across the sea of humanity into the land of the kingdom of heaven. We are pilgrims, and God has brought us, and He has blessed us abundantly in the land of the kingdom of heaven. And what a wonderful thing it is to be such pilgrims, and such pilgrims who have not only been brought to a place, a blessed place, a place of largeness and wonderful grace, and the wonderful Holy Spirit enriching us at every turn. But we've also been blessed with the hope that for us pilgrims, there's even something more. The Bible is always talking about that. We are the haves, and yet we are also the have-nots. We are the have-nots because we are those who still have not the glory of heaven. We have, indeed, the whole 9,000 yards of blessings, as it were, if I can speak in kind of the vernacular of the day. But we are those who are destined for far, far more. And so we're pilgrims who've come, who've been brought, but we're pilgrims who are marching toward heaven itself. And on the way, Jesus has given us this wonderful gift called prayer. And when the disciples first asked Him, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples, I don't think the disciple who asked Him knew what he was getting into. Because really and fundamentally, Jesus was teaching them when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, not just how to pray and the certain mechanics of prayer, but fundamentally, Jesus would teach this simply to be prayers. And this is something we really need to take to heart here, because we're not so good at that, are we? As pilgrims who've been brought into the kingdom of heaven and who are bound for glory, we are prayers and praying pilgrims if we are true pilgrims indeed. And many, they say this, that we are these pilgrims and strangers and find and heaven's our home, but rarely are they on their knees. And they think that maybe going toward heaven is running or marching or whatever, but they forget that going to heaven is also crawling and is also going to heaven on your knees praying. And it's not just a thing we have to do. It's a great privilege. Praying is the greatest thing for the Christian because it's conversation with the God who's redeemed us. It's hearing from God, our Father, and then speaking to Him. It's friend-to-friend conversation and yet servant-to-king conversation, and those who await their marching orders conversation. Is that your kind of prayer? Is that mine? Well, then you're a pilgrim indeed, and this instruction will suit you well and help you further. Because this instruction we receive today in something that's so very important. We have, as we've been hearing in the exposition of the Lord's Prayer, we have so much. We have the praise of God in our front and center in our mind. And so our first prayer is, Hallowed be thy name. Having addressed our Father in heaven, we say, Hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have so much in this prayer. We have bread, daily bread. We have forgiveness of sins, wonderful, wonderful gifts for body and for soul. But now there's one obstacle Jesus would remind us of, and that's sin, indwelling sin. For the object, finally, of glory, there's something in the way for the final deliverance and the final entrance of pilgrims into the pilgrim's homeland, heaven. There's one thing that gets in the way, and it's a mighty, mighty enemy, and that's indwelling sin. That sin into which we can so easily fall as Christians. So Jesus would remind us to pray to the Father for leadership and deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, O God, from the evil. And so we want to consider that prayer, that petition that Jesus would leave with us at the last before we conclude the prayer under the theme, Pilgrims Praying and Holy. Pilgrims Praying and Holy. We want to consider, first of all, the temptations into which Jesus says we pray we're not to be led. And then the deliverance, too, from the evil. But then the praying about that, and something vital that we would have as a fruit of our truly praying. And then finally, the confidence. The confidence. It's a good thing that Jesus reminds us and reminded the disciples at the first of these temptations, and that we are to pray, deliver us from the evil. And it's a good thing, I say, because what Jesus is basing this prayer on is a first fact that all of us must come to understand and we should all rejoice in. And that's this. We're friends of God. We're on the Lord's side. And God is on our side. And you see, what this is the backdrop for this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Jesus is saying there's been a break that's made, and now you have to be kept from that which you're not, the evil and the sinful people of the world. And that's why you're praying that. But you see what Jesus is saying here.
even as he did at the first. You are not the world anymore. You've been brought from the kingdom of man, pilgrim, into the kingdom of God.
And sin, though it still besets you on every side, and this is also the petition here, is nevertheless not your Lord. And the devil's not your father. You're praying to our Father in heaven. You're praying as children. That's so fundamental to our Christianity and to our worship, people who go by the name of people of God. That we understand the reality of God and that we give glory to Him in acknowledging that reality. Even though we have so much dirt and so much things in our lives that interfere with our religion, yet God is faithful and Jesus is coming back to that. When He speaks to these disciples who are pilgrims, you are God's. As friends of God who love what God loves, you pray this prayer. As enemies of evil, you pray this prayer. As those who love the Word of God, you pray this prayer. But the fact is, as we've been taken out of the world, because of that, there's friction. There's friction. There's temptation. There's evil. And it's so great that except the Lord would keep us, we'd be sunk. We'd go back into the mire. We would not be kept at all. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray. But that fundamental thing is so vital. We are friends of God. Let's never forget that. And as we hear about these temptations and we're constantly praying them, it's easy to forget that. And the devil would love us to forget that. You've fallen again, the devil would say, "Ah, you're not a child of God. Must not be, because you've fallen again. And you have to pray these things? That's not something a Christian should pray. You must not be a child of God." But Jesus doesn't think that way. Jesus says to the children of God, whom He calls to Himself and to God through Himself and to faith in Him and faith thus in God, "You are these people of God. You are My disciples. And you're Mine, you're My ones in My school lifelong. And I want you to be outstanding believers." And therefore you pray. But Jesus says, "I want to remind you in this prayer," and maybe some of us need to be reminded, "you have enemies. And you have temptations." Now, you say, "Well, that's pretty obvious, Reverend Dick." Well, to some of us, it's clear in the head. I wonder if we're getting it. Life is that rough. Life is that difficult. See what Jesus is doing here in the sixth petition, reminding us before we conclude it. You have all this. You have forgiveness. You have food. You have all you need. You have the praise of God in your heart. But pilgrims, remember, there's just a beginning here. There's all kinds of problems, and you have to pray for leadership. And you can't be following a man. You can't be following the own inclinations of your heart even. You can't be following a church or a creed or whatever. Follow God. That's why you say, "Lead me, Father, not into temptation, and deliver me from the evil." The evils are great. There's a mighty triumvirate, threefold kingly rule, as we'd say, of evil. The devil, for example, of whom the apostle speaks in Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, trickeries of the devil." Diabolos, also called Satan, Satan, the adversary, one who has enlisted a third part of the angels of heaven at the beginning and drew them by his thorny claw and his clawy thorn. with him to the earth to subdue, if he could, the people of God. Called in Ephesians 6, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's against whom we are, the devil. And never forget, he's alive and kicking and roaring. He's a roaring lion. Alive and crawling and slithering. He's a snake. Alive and ruling. He's the prince of the powers of this air. And he has allies. Oh, doesn't he? And he's mighty, 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 children. He's very, very powerful. And we cannot resist him. That's why Jesus says, you pray not to be led into temptation, because the devil is called the tempter. He is the tempter. And temptations are simply evils that are set up to be snares for you. That's one word of temptations. Snares. Like you would set, you hunters, for if you hunt moles, or if you hunt rabbits, or if you hunt other obnoxious creatures, or even other creatures that you would eat. You set snares, and you bait them, and you disguise them. That's what the devil's all about doing. He takes this evil, and he disguises it as good. Like fishermen would bait a hook, and to the fish it looks pretty tasty, doesn't it? But there's a hook under it. There's something that would get at your soul and hurt you and damage you and cause you to go into the devil's frying pan or inferno. You see, the devil is serious at getting souls and catching and fishing and snaring and trying to trip us up at every single step of the way. And he has these devils. And they may very well be right here. You cannot see them, can you? You cannot see a devil. They are spirits, fallen ones, evil ones. But they love to come to church. They love to sit next to you. They love to whisper in your ear. And they would, if they could, even have you listen. They're setting temptations up. And especially they love to clog your ears so you don't hear the word. And to clog your heart so the word doesn't come in. Well, maybe he'll let you hear it and then it'll go right out the other. And you can almost see it sometimes with some people. You can see the words going right out the other ear. They're not getting it. They're fidgeting. They're not wanting the word. The devil has his way. And we know of him. The Bible speaks of him. We know that he goes about. And Luther even thought he saw him at the castle here where he was in hiding for a while, and he threw an inkwell at the devil. I don't know about that, but Luther knew the reality of the devil, and anyone, people of God, who would be a public Christian, a public pilgrim, who would remind this whole world by his and her and their activity, even young people activity, that this world is not my home. I'm going home to heaven, and God is my God. They will be assaulted by the devil and his lies. He loves to lie. He loves to lie. Well, then, of course, there are his allies, the world. He's the one who appoints rulers of the darkness of this world, so that, as John would say in 1 John 5, the whole world that's fallen in Adam is one world that lies in wickedness. And John would say in 1 John 2:15-17, we're not to love that world, because all that's in that world is not of the Father. It's of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and so on. That's what's happened. The devil has people now in his grip, and they are the servants of sin. They are depraved in their sin. They are dead men. They are, well, the spiritual, real zombies, as it were, the walking dead. Isn't that a terrible description that the Bible gives of those fallen in sin? Walking dead, living but not living. And you know, they're not content to be dead alone. They want other people. They want to eat your flesh. They want to get at you. That's the nature of the devil and his zombies. And it's no game. They're out to get you. That's why Jesus says, you pray to the Father, don't lead us into temptation, please. You beg of Him and deliver us from the evil. And that evil may be translated the evil one. Many commentators translate that petition, the sixth petition, not just the evil things in general and snares, but they translate it the evil one, the devil. And in other places, it's clear that that same word, the evil one, hapaneros, is the wicked one, the devil, who goes about trying to deceive whom he can and to devour whom he can and to trip up whom he can and to befriend whom he can. Especially among those who call themselves believers. Well then, there's another enemy, of course. Our flesh. Our own old man, the Bible says. This is something that we often forget, I fear. Yes, the devil. Yes, the world. Yes, the apostate church. They're the problem. They're the ones who set snares. They're the ones who raise the false doctrine. People of God, it would be nothing, though, if we ourselves were pure. Oh, it would be something. It would be a test. Even as Jesus himself was really tempted to sin by the devil, even though he was pure, the pure Son of God. It was a real temptation. The weakness of the flesh, the weakness of the body, the weakness of a hungry man, and so on, would be tempted to eat. But Jesus of Christ, of course, the pure Son of God, would say, no, of course. But we ourselves, we're not only weak in the flesh, but we have a sinful flesh still. Let's not kid ourselves. And Jesus would have us not joke around in this life and guffaw with the world and read their poetry and see their shows and so on with the best of them as if there's no problem with the world. He'd remind us in this that we are to pray, lead us not into temptation, because we have a healthy perspective of ourselves. And we know we're children of God. Remember, that's the thing to remember first. And yet we know there's something that doesn't belong there yet, still. Old man of sin, the apostle calls him. The one in us, that principle in us that still is alive and kicking, which would kick against the pricks and the yoke of Christ and not take it on. Understand that? That's a very important perspective. I think a lot of Christians, when they come to this sanctification thing, have it kind of messed up. First of all, they think sanctification is the ground on which we're saved. That's not true. As if our holiness can be the basis of our salvation. That's not true. Or maybe they think you can be sanctified and you'll be perfect. Others may think we can be sanctified only so much so that we're still completely and totally depraved. We can never do any good whatsoever. That's another extreme. But the biblical reality is there is a principle of sanctification and holiness. And Jesus is basing this prayer upon this. And yet, at the same time, there's another principle alive and kicking and devilish altogether. And so we war against this. And the Apostle Paul's own struggle in Romans 7 is and ought to be ours. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's our prayer. When we pray, lead us not into snares and into the clutches of the evil one, we pray. And that's our second point, beloved. We've got all these enemies. It's a good thing we have enemies, because then we're not, you see, the enemy. We're friends of God. But as friends of God, we have enemies. So the enemies remind us that we're not the enemy, but they also remind us that we have enemies. Now we pray. And vital. absolutely vital. We need help. You cannot resist sin except God help you. Fundamental. Children, we teach you to pray early. And us older folks need to remember to pray always, that we not be led into temptation, but delivered from the evil. Finally and always. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He says, you are disciples, you pilgrims are to pray, lead us not into temptation. Well, certainly he's not saying take us out of the world. He's not saying, now, you disciples pray, and then God's going to beam you up. Lead us not into temptation means must be a prayer to go up to heaven. Because this world is full of temptation. And Jesus has prayed in John 17, I pray not that they should be out of the world, but they're going to be in it and they're going to be kept. What does he mean by that then? I believe, beloved, it's very simple. What Jesus is saying here is that we are to pray that we would not be so led by temptations or temptations by us that we would be caught in them and perish. The Greek preposition there is eis. It means into, really into, in the sense of here, I believe, involved in and wrapped up and hurt by the temptation, so that it not only traps our foot or our hand, but our soul. And that's what he's saying you must pray about. Pray in this world of temptations and tempters and snares, that your heavenly Father would keep you. That he would keep you with all his heavenly Father love and his almighty God Father power. And so as you go by the temptation, and as you yourself are really inclined to steal that candy or to disobey mom and dad, you pray, Lord, keep me from that disobedience. Keep me from that cliff. I know if I get near it, I'm going to fall off. Keep me from that relationship. Keep me from that perspective where I just despair. Lord, keep me. Keep me. I need you. And Jesus is giving us this prayer, and we are to take heart in this, that God will answer. And I wonder if some of us need to hear an answer, to make a prayer, and to hear an answer from heaven. To make a prayer, even right now, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil. Lord, deliver me from that into which I've fallen. Heavenly Father, I've made a mess, and there are consequences, and I know that, but Lord, I need to know the consequence, the reality, the perfection, the almighty power of your grace. I believe in grace, Lord. I believe that you are faithful. I believe that I've been led by sin, by the snout. I've been as a swine. But I believe you are faithful and you'll lead me out. And you'll lead me into freedom. It takes a heavy dose of humility, doesn't it? To be praying this, and then you fall into temptation to pray, Lord, I can't do it. I can't fix my marriage. I can't raise my children. I can't bring them back. I can't be a better wife, a better husband. I can't be reconciled to this one. But Lord, lead me so I know through Christ I can do all things, because he strengthens me. There's something in Ephesians 6 that reminds us of the importance of this prayer. Do you see that? Will you Were you battlers really excited about this reading of Ephesians 6:10 and following? Speaks of the whole armor of God, after all. Excited about that? Put it on, he says. Be soldiers. Maybe you're young people. You like to be soldiers. Great. Be a spiritual soldier. Put on the armor. Put it on. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Yes. But there's something here of which the inspired apostle would remind the people as they take all the armor on, and as, even as they take the sword of the Spirit, there's something vital. Verse 18. All of this taking of the helmet, all of this being champion Christians, is about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints and for me. This whole thing of being brought into the kingdom pilgrim and then proceeding and advancing and progressing toward heaven is about you relying on God. No, God giving you to rely on Him. It's about the Jesus whom you trusted and His righteousness in the beginning. And it's about the righteousness of Jesus and the strength of Jesus in the Spirit, which you will trust always. And you show that by praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But then there's other vital things we do. And Jesus is certainly not excluding them when He says, and the only thing He says about sanctification is that you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's not excluding this. When you pray, there's two other things you have to do. Put that whole armor of God on and take the sword of the Spirit and be on the offensive. Two things. Now, Jesus says this, and we're reminded that even in other contexts, people have understood that prayer is no excuse for lackluster doing of Christianity. The settlers, when they were settling America, and they were Christians, would say, we got to pray. But they'd also say, pray and keep your powder dry, meaning pray and have your musket at the ready. Because when you pray, you're also recognizing that God gives us responsibilities. When we pray and rely on God, He is not excluding the fact that there must be certain things that we do that show the reality of our prayer. And here in Ephesians 6 is one of them. Pray. Yes, pray. But put on the whole armor of God. Not just about keeping your powder dry, but have this spiritual panoply. This defensiveness. This wonderful shield about you. And this wonderful helmet, this whole armor that will keep you from the devil and his wiles. And so when he comes to you, make sure that you have this armor, for example, that's called breastplate of righteousness. When he comes to you and he says, you are unrighteous, you have this defense. What is the defense? The defense is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And then what you do is you have this sword and you say to the devil when he's attacking you and saying you're not worthy to be a child of God and you're defended by this righteousness, you take the sword of the word and you say, ah, but devil, Jesus Christ is my righteousness and I slay you. You have no word against me. For God has said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, defended by His righteousness and walking now in His Spirit. Devil be gone. Just as Jesus in the wilderness, He said to the devil three times, it is written, so we, defended by truth and righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of feet and peace and so on, and the helmet of salvation on us. You take that sword of the word. So we're on the defensive and on the offensive in this battle. But this is all connected with prayer. And Jesus is saying, this must be a prayerful putting on of armor. and a prayerful wielding of the sword. Otherwise, it's not real. And it will be hurting. And you will be fighting your own fight and not the fight of faith, the good fight of faith. So, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the devil. The devil now and the devil at the end of time, when he would assault us one last time and give us to despair in our death. Finally, we have confidence. And I leave you with this. The word, right at the end of this last petition and before the conclusion, Jesus leaves us with this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. You see what he's doing here? Linking is he, this last petition, and the basis for our confidence in it, in this wonderful truth. God's is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And we can say amen to this. You know what he's doing here? He's saying, you can pray this. You sinful person, you sinful minister, you sinful church, you can pray this and you can have every confidence that God will not lead you into temptation. He will, with the temptation, be able to give you a way of escape. He will keep you from the evil one. Why? Because his own glory is wrapped up in your preservation. His is the kingdom. His is the power. His is the glory. And you can not bank on it, but trust in it. Because he has said, you're mine. And he's your father. And he will not let you go the way of sin and evil and temptation and death. Oh, it's a struggle. But God is faithful. People of God, let's pray. Lead us not into temptation, Heavenly Father, but deliver us from evil. And be confident, for God's is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And he will be glorified in bringing the pilgrims, the praying, the holy pilgrims home. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon the word that we preached and heard, however weakly preached, however weakly heard. Lord, be thou the strength of that word. Be thou the strength that works in our hearts so that we're kept from temptation, praying, putting on the whole armor of God, taking the sword of the word of God, and everything trusting in Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.